Well, hello there. How are you doing today? I hope the Lord is blessing you in every way. Brother Tom here with another message from the Word of God. I hope you will join me. You know, I was thinking there before I started the message that of how good God has been to me over the years. You know, I'm pretty well up in years now, and when I reflect back over the times that I disappointed God because of my attitude towards sin, the discrepancies I've gone through in my life as a Christian, of course I got saved late in life. Actually, I was in my midterms, you might say, when I finally realized that, you know, God is all there is. If you don't have God, if you don't have Christ, if you don't repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then there actually is no place you can go except down below. Down below. Anyway, nobody wants to go there, at least not in their heart. Maybe their mouth will say differently. Anyway, I've entitled my message today, When Sin Entered In. When Sin Entered In. When I was a kid, now many moons ago, I say moons because my entire family, well, we were descendants of the Mi'kmaq tradition. You know, Indian, Canadian, Canada. Anyway, some of us, well, have status, and some of us only think we have status. Most of us exercise that status in hopes of gaining certain financial privileges, and some of us don't. You know, when I became a man, I was told I could lose my status if I betrayed its origin and ongoing qualifications, that I could lose it all. In other words, I will not gain, but rather due to government and bureaucracy, and we all know what that's about, I will lose all I have thought to have gained. In other words, check the writing. Check the small print. I've chosen, as I said, my title for my sermon today, When Sin Entered In. When Sin Entered In. Sin, what is sin? Well, sin is anything that's against God. That's not agreeable to the Word of God. It's sin. You see, there's only one righteous, and that's God Himself. There's only one holy, that's God Himself. And there's only one Savior, that's Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Let's have a short prayer and then we'll continue on with this message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. I thank You for giving me the momentum I need, Lord, in delivering this message. I thank You for the words You placed in my heart, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the listeners to this word will gain something from it, Lord. They will understand a little bit more about who God is and what was done for the sinners in this world today. Lord, give me utterance. Bless Thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, between childhood and manhood, somewhere betwixt the two, I became something else. I became a Christian. I became a Christian. Now, you might say, well, I'm a Christian. Most of us are Christians anyway. Don't fool yourself. You better examine yourself to make sure you are truly a Christian, that you are in the faith, that you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you have repented, and given your life over to Christ. A Christian. Oh, how we take that word for granted. Not just a name, but when I became a Christian, it was quite late in life, and I became a Christian by conviction. Sometimes you have to bottom out, you know. Everything has to be taken away from you. You have to lose even family. You have to come to the end of self. And then that's where you find that line you can cross over to Christianity. Because God is waiting. He wants you. He died for your sins. Shed his blood for your sins and mine. Someone had told me about the gospel of Jesus Christ and his eternal salvation. How that we we're all sinners, really, but not only who and what we were, but why we were what we were. Now, is that a mouthful? Let me say it again. But not only who and what we were, but why we were what we were. What is sin? And where did it begin? I think you all know that. Well, anyway, you're going to find out. At first, I just wanted to run away. I just wanted to run far away where I would hear no more of man's lies and promises. If you do this, if you do that, then you will become this, or you'll go here or there. You know, after more than 4 decades as a prisoner to, and I say this with conviction, as a prisoner to Catholicism, which is what I was, I believe that the Catholic Church had complete ownership to my soul. My eternity had already been decided even as a child. I wanted nothing more than the protective corruption of the Catholic Church. Of course, I didn't know it was corruption then. I believed that the priests were my mentors, and they would direct all my ways. I believed all that they told me. I felt secure. I would get on with my life, as sinful as it would become, and even God would not forsake me. Even God would not forsake me. Then one day, well, amid all my lying and blasphemy and stealing and cheating and drinking, I heard a preacher on a local radio station preaching on something called original sin. I had no idea what that was when I first heard it. I mean, I know what original means, and I think I know it, or I thought I knew what sin was. But it kind of caught my ear, you know. He said that sin originated in the Garden of Eden. He read from Genesis 3, verse 1, and here's what he read. Now the serpent, that's the old devil, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, that would be Eve, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He said that Satan appeared in the garden to tempt our first parents, Adam and Eve, right? By casting doubt on what God had actually said. The same two questions that Satan asked Eve are the same two questions being asked today. What are they? Listen up. Are you sure God said that? Number two, are you sure God will do what he says? Well, this, my friends, is where sin originated. This is when sin, came upon all the world. Right there at the beginning with Adam and Eve. Okay, now let us fast forward to the present, okay? And look at what the Word of God had the Apostle Paul write in Romans, Book of Romans, chapter 3, actually verses 9 to 23. Now, we'll read the first and the last verse. Now, you can read the verses in between for yourself. Okay? Romans 3, verse 9. Okay? What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Okay, now let's skip way down to verse 23. And it sums it up. And here it is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, many will argue that this Bible or that Bible or this commentary or that commentary might differ with what you see written here. Really? Or philosophy may teach a somewhat altered descriptive about what the Word of God is saying here. Really? Well, I urge you to take God's Word verbatim. That's where it begins. You must trust and believe. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Jew or Greek, there's no difference. For all, when it comes to sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. It doesn't matter who you are or what your profession, doctor, lawyer, politician, nurse, mother. You're a sinner. Does that rub you the wrong way? It does me. But I had to swallow what pride I had left and accept the fact that I was a sinner in need of salvation. And you know what? That's where you are today. If you haven't made that decision for Christ yet, you have to swallow that pride and say, yes, yes, God, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I want Jesus in my life. It doesn't matter who you are, what your standing is in this life. It doesn't matter. You're a sinner, according to the Word of God. Just as sure as you're short or you're tall or you're fat or skinny, rich or poor, or anything else in between in God's eyes, none of us has measured up to God's standard of righteousness. None of us. We all fail. We are all sinners. And there ain't no place in heaven for sinners. Some folks try to categorize sinners. For example, a doctor who heals people would not be classed with a soldier who kills people. Nor a lawyer compared with a mindless bum. Or a priest with a pawnbroker. You may be a disgraceful sinner or a respected sinner. You know, people categorize things. Oh, you're a disgraceful, despicable sinner. Or, yes, he does sin, but, you know, he's a good man, basically. Ta-ta. Yeah, sure. The point is, you're still a sinner. That's the whole point. Be any kind of sinner you want to class it, but you're still a sinner. And Christ came to save sinners. In the book of Isaiah 53, verse 6, we read, I love this one, my favorites. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Marvelous, marvelous. Oh, what great hope we have through this verse. Isaiah 53:6, read it over and over. No, over in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, we read, there is none good but one. That is God. That is God. He's the only one who is good, who is righteous, who is pure, who is holy. Which means unless you are God, then you're not good. I'm not going to say you're no good. You're just not good. There is a difference. Thin line, but a difference. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Can you? No. Your heart betrays you day after day, time after time. The lust of the flesh infiltrate the heart and turn it into an abomination in the eyes of God. Oh, I got to have that. I got to do this. I got to go there. I just have to. Now, you may walk by a beggar on the street corner, but because you are a born-again Christian, do not compare your exterior to his. For even angels have donned the rags of the wretched and downtrodden. Did you get that? We encounter angels unawares. I'm not saying that you see a bum on the street, that's an angel. I'm saying God has his ways. We have ours. Put God first and everything will fall into perspective. God looks not upon the countenance, but upon the heart. Dress doesn't mean anything to God. It's what's in the heart that matters. Now, you were both shapen in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. The Bible says that. One guy said, you call my mother a useless beggar? The answer is, I never met your mother. Then we hear, well, I'm as good as the next guy and better than some. But they never finished the thought. They never finished the thought. Are you better because of your countenance? Or because of your scholarly appearance? Or the cut of your hair? Is that why you say you're better? Is not your mouth as an open sepulchre? Did not Christ die for you as well as the rest of us? The vernacular used today confounds the soul. Statements like, man calls sin an accident. Well, God calls sin an abomination. Or man calls sin a blunder. God calls sin blindness. Man calls sin a choice. God calls it a defect. Man calls sin an infirmity. God calls it iniquity. Man calls sin a luxury. Well, God calls sin leprosy. Leprosy of the soul. Man calls sin a mistake. God calls sin a tragedy. There you have it. There you have it. Now, we've covered the origin of sin. Now, let us look briefly at the consequences or the result of sin. Now, we were referring to the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? And because we all do sin, well, then it stands to reason that we all need a Savior, correct? Do I hear an amen out there? Rich or poor, short or tall, teacher or learner, remember, God is no respecter of persons. In other words, God does not offer special favors, for we are all in the bin of sin. You got that? We are all in the bin of sin. Neither can God be bought at any price, for his riches far surpass the cattle on a thousand hills, or the pit of gold in Solomon's court. There is nothing mankind can offer than a contrite heart, filled with repentance and belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bear this in mind. No man has any special favor with God when it comes to salvation. Oh, some think they do, but they don't. Some may argue about such when they read about David and Job and Noah and Moses, but not so. God used each of them to his own glory. Remember this, God is the potter. They were the clay. Then we have the old adage, but God is a God of love. And so he is. So he is. Greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than that. Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that why he came to this sin-cursed earth? To suffer and bleed and die for our sins, the sin of the whole world? Yes. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friends, and ye are my friends if you do what I ask of you. Now, a lot of people misinterpret this line. They say, well, my dad or my brother or my cousin or my uncle, whatever, was in the war. And he died in the war. He was killed. He gave his life for his country. Precisely, he gave his life for his country. Did he give his life for God? That's not what the Bible's talking about. About you laying down your life for your country. I mean, that's not going to give you access to glory, to heaven. Because you were killed serving your country in a war. I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's the truth. The Word of God is talking about Jesus himself, that he laid down his life. That's why he gave up his life. That's why he suffered. That's why he bled. That's why he died. For the sins. He had no sin. He died for our sins. I hope I made that clear. Don't misinterpret those words. Remember Calvary. Our God is also a God of justice and righteousness. Some people see God as some great solar teddy bear, and all you have to do is pamper him, and he'll hug the sin right out of you. No! The truth is, all you have to do to fully understand God is to trust and obey, to repent and believe. That's the bottom line. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now you know. You know where sin began. Now, you may have known before I gave this message, but still, the origin of sin, the results of sin. Sin entered in at creation. And sin will meet its demise when you give yourself over to Jesus Christ and believe in what he did. I want to thank you for listening. I pray this message has blessed your heart, and that if you're not absolutely sure of your salvation, that you will examine yourself this very day. Make sure. If there's something amiss in your walk with God and you just can't put your finger on it, well, you know what the Bible says? Pray without ceasing. God will give you the answer. He'll show you where you're slipping up. He'll get you up on your feet. Thank you. May God bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.